Genesis chapter number 13. I'll give you time to get to your place. It don't matter if you hear what I got to say, but you need to see what he's got to say. I think a lot of times we preachers are way too in a hurry to get our say in. People need to see what he's got to say. Well, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Boy, I knew God liked the south. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, and in gold. He went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel. And to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds with tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if you depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou camest to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. You ought to underline that verse. We'll be there in a minute. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But there was an issue. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for this time together. God, as John said on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's day, thank you, God, for the songs that's been sung and the Spirit of God that has been in our midst to exalt your Son. Thank you for that. Now, Lord, I'm a needy preacher this morning, and I pray you'd help me preach. Let me be a blessing to the people this morning. If it be one here lost, I pray, God, that Holy Ghost conviction would fall upon them in their lives. Would you do things here today that only you, our good God, can do? By the wonderful word of God, help us. And I'll be grateful to realize where all my help comes from. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. I'd like to preach a few minutes this morning on the thought on some lessons from Lot. Some lessons from Lot. A little bit of background. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. Abraham is the father of our faith. I'm glad that he was the friend of God. Therefore, Abraham being the father of our faith, we need to know more about this man. We find out, first of all, on his nephew and some things that have transpired. I want to share with you four things about Lot, his nephew. First of all, I want us to look about where he looked. Secondly, I want to talk about where he lived. Thirdly, I want to talk about what he lost. But then fourthly and lastly, I want to talk about what he learned. And I'll be real brief in my preaching this morning, but the Lord has so burned this and firebrand this in my heart, I cannot go home without delivering out of this text. I want you to know, first of all, about where he looked. I want to say, first of all, Lot, he was weak in his devotions. Now every place that his uncle went, he built an altar. I can tell you when you're going to get weak in your devotions is when you neglect your altar. When you get to heaven, God's not going to encourage you or congratulate you for teaching your children to be great and excel in sports. But I can tell you what would please our God is if we could teach our children how to pray. Boy, I wish America could get back to that of the altar. You know, many of you, you know where your remote control is, but where's your altar? I've noticed that altars alter our life. And oh, how we're people that have need of this altar. Now you'll notice that Lot, he was weak in his devotions in chapter 13. The Bible said in verse number 4, they went in the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Verse 5, and Lot also which went with Abram, he had flocks, herds, and tents. I want to say, first of all, he was weak in his devotions, but secondly, he was worldly in his desires. And you say, well, why was he worldly in his desires? Well, he got to looking toward the wrong place. Be careful. God has not blessed you to take you away from Him, but to get you to Him. I've noticed people that I've preached to for years that they start coming to a Bible-believing church and they get faithful at God's house and start paying their tithe. And all of a sudden, just like what God said would happen, said He would open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And then when that blessing hits you, instead of going to God, it takes you from God. So I'd be careful about where my blessings was taking me to this morning. Now, he was worldly in his desires. And then thirdly, he was wrong in his decisions. I don't know if you caught this or not, but in verse number 6, the Lamb was not able to bear them, for they might dwell together. For their substance was so great, they could not dwell together. There was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. I want to stop right there. Now, if they worked for Lot, looks like to me Lot would have the say. What Lot ought to do was hit that altar and said, hang on. I know where my bread's been buttered. And Uncle Abraham, you go one way, and if you won't let me go with you, I'm going to pray till you do let me go with you. Because honey, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get in trouble when you get alone from the fathers of the faith. You may say, I don't need you, man of God. It's coming a day in your life. You're going to need a man of God in your life. And you may say, listen, Mom and Daddy, we don't need you. We don't need your advice. You better realize, honey, these folks sitting here, they done been through some things in their life. I tell you what, I'd have told my herdman, hush. He's the boss. Hush your mouth. If you don't like it, go back around into Egypt somewhere. And get you some of that brick and mortar. What are you saying? I'm saying he's wrong in his decision. He should have stopped and said, you know, I know where my bread's buttered. My daddy had that saying in Tennessee, boy, you better remember where your bread's buttered. I like butter, don't you? Boy, I like good bread too. Praise God. Fried rabbit, white milk, gravy. Somebody shout, we'll go eat after a while. But I'm going to tell you something. We better not forget where our bread is buttered, honey. And it's no time to be fussing and fighting with each other. It's time to go with the Father of faith for the glory of God. I wished I had wind to preach. The devil about killed me last night. Any of you ever had them boots that's got eyelets on them? Sell them. I got tripped up and something around my feet and I fell about 3 minutes. Anybody ever fell for 3 minutes? And something got under my rib cage that ain't supposed to be there. Renee said, I tell you, I'm just going to put you up in the ER room, just give you your own room. Amen. I wished I had the wind to really tell you what I think this morning. But you listen to me, young people, if it's ever been a time in your life, you better be getting some things nailed down about the fathers of our faith have taught us and shared with us. And then let me tell you something. Every preacher, they steal a few boys interested in something beside women and chickens. Say amen. Amen. Some of you little Joel Osteen looking bunch. I'm going to tell you, honey, you better realize this Bible's right and it gives the right directions and it gives the right instructions. And just because some men's went by the wayside, it's still working for those that'll believe it and live in it. Now, Lot had great possessions. I would say, Brother Lee, he wrote the checks. I've noticed something about God. He writes all the checks. And I want to go His way. And I don't want to get too big for my britches to think that I know something more than God knows. That's the problem with some of you. You don't think this book's real. You think this book is outdated. And it's real antique. But honey, let me tell you about this book. The newspapers ain't caught this book yet. That's how far ahead this book is than our time today. It ain't outdated, honey. It's way ahead of where me and you live in. But this old world's gaining ground on it, Brother Joe. Now, where he looked, I want you to notice that he was weak in devotions, worldly in desires, wrong in decisions, but he was warned about directions. You say, why was he warned about directions? I want to ask you, I wonder how many prayer meetings Lot had been in. I wonder how many prayer meetings you've been in. I wonder how many times he had heard Abraham call upon the God. I wonder how many times he had seen God move in Abraham's life. It looks like it would have dawned on Lot that he didn't do all that by himself. Looks like it dawned on you this morning, honey, that you've not done nothing by yourself. You better learn to give honor and glory to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because without Him, we can do nothing. We got pretty chandeliers and pretty pews, honey. But without the God of glory, we might as well lock this thing and go home. I'd rather offend a few liberals than to see God leave this place. We might ought to turn the preaching up and make some room in here. Or we're going to have to spend a lot of money out yonder next year. And I don't believe in spending it on liberals, so I might as well just turn the preaching up to see where you at this morning. I'd hate to know that we got our bills too high and then all of a sudden liberals bailed on us. There's a family come to me not long ago and I talked with them about this wing, you know, when we done it. Of course, I wasn't asking their permission. I just want to know what they thought. They told me right. They said, and you know, preacher, you can't count on people. I know it. They left last year. I'm glad I ain't counting on their tithe. Somebody save me. Would somebody help me preach on Sunday morning? You say, I don't believe in tithing, and you're a God robber. You say, well, I believe in love offerings. Well, you might not be in love on Sunday. This thing don't run on love offerings. You may be out. Y'all might have had a cat fight before you got here that morning. That's the way most y'all do anyway. You ever tried to get dressed with three women in the house in one mirror? I mean, they trying to get everything fixed there, and we running late. Y'all done slammed every car window out of the doors in the drive. The neighbors heard you spin out. They heard all them ugly words you saying on the back deck and on the front deck. They heard, they seen that Budweiser you was drinking around the barbecue grill Saturday night. Somebody say amen. You got your little sticker on there. Follow me up into Liberty Baptist Church on Sunday morning. Y'all just come on. Y'all walk up, the steps been fussing and fighting. You say, oh, hey, Rev. How your mama and them? It does matter what we're doing out yonder. And boy, I'm going to tell you this morning, Lot looked at the wrong place. Number two, not only where he looked, but look how he lived in Genesis 19, verse number 1. This ought to surprise you how accustomed you can get to the things of the world. Now I'm going to tell you something. Lot had one of the greatest examples under heaven, Abraham, the father of our faith. Could you imagine being raised up around Abraham? Everything he'd done, he prayed about it. God had talked to him. He had got him to leave his homeland and he's walking by faith. And so now we see not only where he looked, but look where he lived. We pick him up in Genesis 19:1. We last seen him pitch his eyes toward Sodom. He left his tent and he moved to town. Somebody say amen right there. That's the problem. You get in that town life. And so we find out, first of all, where he lived. Now, you say, preacher, in Genesis 19:1, the Bible said there came two angels of Sodom and Eve, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now, I want to say where he lived. First of all, he lived in conflict. He never got it settled with his uncle. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like my conscience bothering me. My conscience is a watchdog of the soul, and I don't like it when it's barking in me. And no doubt, Lot, if he'd have got some things straightened out with his brother, the Bible said they'd be brethren. Let me tell you, honey, we don't have to agree, but we can't agree on disagreeing. It don't have to get adversarial. You can drive a Ford if you want to. But I'm going to tell you where he lived. He lived in an atmosphere of conflict. And let me tell you something. Running from conflicts never gets any better. You never get ahead of nobody in conflict. I don't like conflict. Don't like it. And then he lived not only in conflicts, but I think he lived in compromise. You know, the safest road to hell is a gradual one with no bumps in it. And that's where some of you headed this morning. You're headed to a hell without His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You got so gospel hardened being in the South, you forgot about that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But listen to me. Where he lived in conflict and he lived in compromise. You say, why do you say he lived in compromise? Because he wasn't raised to be living how he was living. Thank God for good raising. I'll say that again. Thank God for good raising. Brother Lee had a mama that tore the back porch down with him. His daddy was the meekest man on earth and his mama would tear the house down. Some of you trying that time out, it ain't working for you. My daddy would take time out. Yeah, he'd take time out, tear the porch down. Some of you need to get you an old razor strap, put on a nail on the wall, write time out on it. I'm not talking about abusing your children. I'm talking about disciplining your children. Raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And let me tell you something. I believe with all of my heart that he was living in a way of compromise. You don't have to compromise to live. We ought to believe this book and we ought to be people of faith that believe in preaching and the Word of God and the love of God and the church of God. And I'm going to tell you what. He lived in conflict. He lived in compromise. Then I want to say, lastly, about where he lived in a community. He allowed the environment to shape him instead of shaping the environment. You know, we live in a day, Brother Joe, when a lot of times Christians, they're a thermometer instead of a thermostat. I come and set the thermostats a while ago on cool, 67 degrees. The building reacts to the thermostat. The building don't react to the thermometer. You need to quit being a thermometer Christian and be a thermostat Christian and set the surroundings in which you live. God has given you, Daddy, the leadership. Won't you stand up and be Daddy and do what's right and quit compromising on this Word of God? Compromising always hurts. Well, where he looked, where he lived, but thirdly, look at what he lost. Look at what he lost. In chapter 19, Now, these angels come to where he's living. And so the Bible says that they came in, and in verse number 3, Abram pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into his house, came in. He made them a feast. They ate. But verse 4, before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. They called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." When you look that up in the Bible, that means a sexual act. That it's inappropriate and God still calls it an abomination. Even the men had their young ones trained. Here's some new men in town. The lust of their... I thought I'd never... Now, don't get quiet on me. But I thought I'd never see the day and hour that we live today. And I'm going to tell you something. It's still right for men to marry women and women to marry men. And it ain't right for men to marry men and women to marry women. It's not right. The Bible says it's an abomination in the eyes of our God. Now, isn't it amazing? It looked right to everybody else, but the Bible said that God saw it as a bad place. And God still sees the Sodoms of this world as a bad... Don't get used to Sodom. You'll get in trouble. You say, we got to accept it. We don't do it. Don't you tell me that one iota. We ain't got to do nothing but die and pay our taxes if we live here. You can quit swallowing that goldfish. It's still right about what this Bible says. And let me tell you, young people, homosexuality is a sin. It's a weakness of the flesh. And if you feel that flesh messing with you, crucify it. It's a sin. It's not a lifestyle. It's a sin. It's a decision. A decision. Young people, don't let the school tell you you was born that way. You weren't born that way. We were born in the image of God. We have a soul, spirit, and body. And let me tell you something. Some of you mom and daddies, you got issues with your little boys looking at girls. You ought to be glad. And I'm not condoning nothing. I'm just saying you ought to be glad they like little girls. Somebody say amen. If you'll keep a Bible between them, they'll stay out of trouble. And that's why we got to guard this flesh. We're human. I know some of you not. You got your little halos all turned up this morning. But I guarantee you, we can ask your children, they'll tell you, you're human. Children will tell on their parents. I had a buddy one day out yonder toward the Kansas community. He went visit a family, sat down on the couch. In come a little old boy about 3 years old. He said, "Hey, preacher, you want a beer?" He said that day it looked like he could have went up on the couch cushion. And the little boy was confused. He said, "Well, Daddy, you offer everybody a beer that comes over. They're just doing what they've been taught." We need to teach our children something. Let me tell you, Sodom and Gomorrah are still in this Bible, and God destroyed it on the count of it. I'm not compromising on the Word of God. And let me tell you what, I'm not going to be mean and hateful about it either. I'm not going to call them a street name like some preachers do. I'm not going to do it. God said they're Sodomites. And if they don't get saved, they're not going to heaven. That's what my Bible tells you. Some of you ain't going to like that. You don't go to heaven that way. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become anew. The book of Galatians, Paul's writing, he said, all of these wicked things of the flesh, and such were some of you. Don't point your finger. You've probably done worse than that. You just didn't get caught. Be careful with kids in our church that get in trouble. Be careful. Don't put your mouth on them. Be careful. You got some coming up. You may be eating that crow. I said you better watch your mouth. The reason you didn't get in trouble, you didn't get caught. The majority. Now, y'all can do with that whatever you need to do. But you know I'm telling you the truth. Say amen. Shake your little Baptist head this morning. It's still right to do right. You better watch your flesh. You'll get mad and fly off the handle. Say something you didn't even mean to say. I find that over there in the Bible where he says that a feller pops you on the cheek, turn the oven. I hate what I find in this Bible sometimes. But it's still in there. And we need to live by it. Lot got accustomed to where he is living. He didn't shape his environment. Let me tell you, young people, you're not going to change that carload of dope smoking, liquor drinking. You're not going to change that crowd. You better get out of it. They'll change you. They'll change you. You know why? Our flesh is weak. There's nobody here bulletproof. Goliath thought he was, but honey, let me tell you, he wasn't too tall to fall. Am I doing all right on Sunday morning? We better watch our flesh. I don't care if I've been married 33 years. I better watch this flesh. This mouth pops off at anything. Pooyah! I know none of y'all live with nobody like me, but you ain't got about 20 more minutes and you'll be done with me for the day. Lessons from Lot. Where he looked, where he lived, what he lost. I think he lost his innocence. You'll notice in verse number 7, look what he said to these sodomites that have engulfed his house. He said in Lot number 6, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. That's bad when he called them brethren. Be careful, you'll get that close to sin. And you'll be calling it your brother too. Be careful. 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 What he lost. He lost his innocence. Also, you'll notice in verse number 13. He said, for we will destroy this place because the crowd of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Time out. 55 million babies killed in America. God said that place was wicked. I wonder what he's saying about America. Isn't it amazing that the generation above me, when they was in their 20s and 30s, they never seen airplanes fly into their towers? Wake up, America. We never heard of nobody walking in and wiping out a school system. America's out of control, and it's because one thing, sin. Sin. It's out of control. And what's wicked before our God today was wicked back yonder. He's not changed about sin. Listen to me. What he lost? He lost his innocence. He lost his influence. Look in verse number 14. I won't say this congregation this morning. I may hurt your feelings. But when I lose my influence with you, I'm done. You hear me? God expects this office here to be held right. And it goes out yonder too. But I want to show you what happened to this man. The Bible said in verse 14, Lot went out, spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law.
Brother Jason, I hope to the Lord in heaven, son. This preacher never gets there with you boys. Lost his influence. Lost his respect. He lost his intentions. I guarantee you he never intended it to end that way. Now, the best I can tell in my Bible, there's 10 in his household. Them angels said, listen. He said in verse number 11, watch what happened. Verse 10, the men put forth their hand, pulled Lot to the house of them and shut the door. And they smote the men at the door that was coming after them with blindness, both small and great, and they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said to Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, sons, daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. All right, verse 14, he went out, and he spake to his sons-in-law. There it's plural. Now, in verse number 12, it's singular. You remember when Abraham started bartering with God about, would you spare it for 50? Then he got down to 20 and God said, oh yeah, I'll spare it. He got down to 25. And then Abraham got down to 10 and God said, that's right, if it's 10 righteous in that city, I'll spare it. And he stopped. You know why he stopped at 10? Because if you add up the two virgin daughters, there's two. He had sons-in-laws. That means he had two more daughters. That's six that married them boys. He had sons, two sons, that's eight. Him and Miss Lot, there's 10 there supposed to have been righteous. But God no different. And then you watch this. This is an amazing thing. I want to ask you, so I'm fixing to get down where we live now. If somebody come to your house this evening and said, this thing's fixing to be destroyed, have you got anybody here besides family? I wonder, have you led anybody to Christ but your family? And then secondly, I want to ask you this, where would you go find them? Look what he done in Genesis 19:14. He said, go, take them out of this place. Look what happens. Lot went out, spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. So he arose that morning. The angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. I've got a question right now, and I'm supposed to quit preaching. Why didn't he go after his boys? I tell you why I believe he didn't go after his two boys he mentioned. He didn't know where they was. And this is what Lot seen. You may lead them out there, but you can't lead them out. And you better be careful where you taking your children today. Now I close. Some lessons from Lot. I know it ain't a shouting message. God didn't intend it to be. Where he looked, where he lived, what he lost. But I want to close. What he learned. What do you think he learned? He's sitting in the gate. Friend, he's done moved in. He's king. He's boy dog. He's compromised. He's got along. He's took his family in a bad place. Well, you know what the Bible said? It said in verse number 22, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. In verse number 26, his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Now, I want to say what he learned. First of all, I think if Lot was here preaching this morning, he'd say, stay right with family. You better stay right with family. Don't let little things blow you up and get you divided. You need each other. And we need each other. I believe he'd say, stay right with family. Number two, I think he would say, love not the world.
but it cost him. Love not the world. Didn't Jesus say that? Love not the world. The world's music, the world's methods. You say, preacher, man, this is 2013. I'm well aware. I've got a watch. God's not changed on none of this. The church has got so worldly and the world's got so churchy, it's no difference in it no more. But I'm glad it's a few places still trying to have church. The problem with some of you, we just have too much church here. You want a little old tickly puppet, and there's a preacher, an assistant preacher that live here, and not politicians. I thought this was supposed to be a place of preaching. It's a sign on the road warns you before you come up in here. Liberty Baptist Church. And I'm not being mean. I'm not being hateful. I'm just telling you the day in which we live. Lot would have told you, love not the world. Thirdly, he'd say, there's pleasure in sin for a season. Just what the Bible says. There is pleasure in sin for a season. I'm nobody's dummy. Sin's fun. Well, sure it's fun. Why do you think the world's flocking to it? But it's for a season. It's just for a season. Let me tell you, girls, you think you're going to marry a little old boy, he's got all this money, he's going to wind and dine you, take you to a nice place. That ain't how people live. I'd rather marry me an old boy with brogan overalls and old flip-flop looking brogan shoes. Ain't even got enough strings to lace them up. And know that he is saved than anything I know. Because, honey, only Jesus is going to get you through this place and out of this place. I think he'd say that there's pleasure in sin, but it's just for a season. Be sure, too, you sin and find you out. That keeps me scared. Brother Mike, you know why so many preachers has been found out in our day? I don't believe so much it's that they're lost. Their sin found them out. That ought to make me and you want to live right. I'm not perfect, but I can tell you one thing. I'm trying my best to live right and be a good preacher to you and preach it just the way God wrote it in that Bible. And I ain't a compromising to fill up 5 buildings for the world. I'd rather have the presence and the glory of God. I'd rather have a handful. He said, where 2 or 3 are gathered together, there I'll be in the midst of them. You play with sin, you're going to get caught. That's the end of the deal. You're going to get caught up with. If you're on the computer pornography, it's going to come out on you. If you're running around on your wife, it's going to come out on you. If you're running around on your husband, you're going to get caught up with. And when you meet my wife in a church, you don't need to climb her like a set of monkey bars neither. There's a right way to hug a woman. Stand up, Brother Mike. You're a long way from a woman, but stand up. Miss Renee's had a knee replacement. She can't jump a bench. Give me a hand, Brother Mike. That's plenty. Hey, Miss Renee.
Yeah.
Hey, Miss Renee. Don't make me set this preacher jacket off. Baptist Church has become a little old Peyton place. Stay on your side of the pew, Jack. Love not the world. Pleasure in sin for a season. Watch this. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's pretty good preaching on Sunday, ain't it?
I think number five is say this, raise your kids right. Megan May say, I'd hate to know, hon. You girls got your issues, I know that. You got your daddy in you. Your mama's wonderful. But your daddy got issues. I'll be first to admit, I got issues. And you got some too. Y'all don't sit there in your little Baptist pew. You got you some issues. But I'm going to tell you one thing about raising your kids right. My kids have made mistakes. And I know some of you have raised yours right and they're not in church. But you just hold on. God ain't done yet. He said, you raise them up and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Sooner or later, them chickens coming home to roost. But I'd hate to know this. I'd hate to know that I went to the nightclubs and the juke joints of this world and led my kids in a place, Brother Doug, and couldn't lead them out. He did. And I'm not being mean-spirited preaching either. I'd hate to know I led my young'uns in, Brother Lee, but I couldn't lead them out. He couldn't his. He lost his boys in that fire. You better listen, though, man of God, this morning. Brother Mike, that's what I mean you're going to have to determine. That's what we're going to have to determine. And it's 25 out of 12. I don't care if it's 4:30. This what I mean you got. This may be what I got to determine. Maybe you done determined it. I'm going to preach when they ain't shouting. And if I'm going to wait for something to be convenient to serve my God, I'm not going to get much done. If I'm going to wait till every one of you loves me so much you throw kisses and candy at me, I might as well get out of the preaching business. God, I'm glad I know the master of the wind. I guarantee you one thing, when my girl's coming up, it wasn't a dirty movie playing in the den. Achy, breaky heart, my tractor be sexy, wasn't playing in the room. We raising a generation so warped they don't even know the name. Amen. And it ain't their fault. It's our fault. It wasn't Lot's kids' fault that some of them died in the fire. It's his fault. He led them in there. As a husband, keep your family in church. I asked you this morning. Miss Sherry, if you come, I want to ask you something. Look at the opportunities this man had in life. And he wasted it. He come up under some of the best leadership a man could ever have. He forgot his raising. He forgot where his bread is buttered. He forgot that the wages of sin is death. You know what we'll do this morning? I believe if Lot was here, he'd say, Daddies, keep your family in church. It's hard for me to believe that an 18-month-old child, listen, that don't know how to leave here and walk across that street, but he knows how to get to the giving bucket on Sunday morning. If you turned him loose out there, he would have no fear of trap. He'd walk right out in the middle of that road. He wouldn't know how to get back. But they can turn him loose in a pew. That ought to mean something to somebody. When these little old grandbabies of mine, I'm glad they know when I call back and they say, Pop, are you preaching? The other day, little old Parker, he got in my preaching shoes. You know what he said? He got in me. He said, Pop, do you preaching shoes? My God, I'm glad his granddaddy's got a pair. I'm glad he's got a pair. Sure. I'd hate to know he walked by And he seen them in the closet. He said, my granddaddy used to wear them. Oh, God, help me. Help me. Oh, God, help me. What you need in your life this morning, there's some lessons a lot left us. I wonder if you heard any preaching. You come this morning. My sister's going to play. You need some help in your life. You come. Ought to be some young people. Tear these altars down today. You ought to come. Ask God to help you in your life. Where you live. Where you looking. What you leaving. You ought to pray to God to help him open your eyes this morning.